I remember the very first sermon I ever preached. I was just a few years younger than Courtney. Courtney just turned 24, and I was a few years younger than that, and I was really nervous. I mean, I was really nervous. I preached on Genesis 22, and I don't know how well it was received, but I do remember I was grateful for the opportunity to be able to preach my first sermon in church. And I and this congregation have always been encouraging of people who feel a call to ministry, and you have been wonderful. Ever since we met Courtney, we just sense that God is really working in her heart, and she senses a call to ministry and has already taken Bible courses and theology courses and will be starting at Nazarene Bible College in their course of study for ministry. And so when I asked her if she would want to preach her very first sermon in church, she said yes. And we're excited. So Courtney, come, and I know God is working in your heart, so come and share the word of God that he has put on your heart for us today.
Did it get on there? Okay. Yeah, I finally got it working. Yeah. Sorry, I have to get organized. That helps. Because I'm really tall, so it's really hard to see. Okay. Well, it took a week of writing this because I was like, what does God want me to talk about today? So the topic that came up was, whose plan are you following? We all have plans for our lives. Have you ever had plans in your life and found out that then it did not work out the way we expected it to? It's hard to be in that place when our plans get messed up. In Ronald Reagan's autobiography, An American Life, he wrote, "I was raised to believe that God had a plan for everyone, and that seemingly random twists of fate are all part of his plan." Reagan's mom told him, "Everything in life happens for a purpose." She said, "All things were part of God's plan, even the most hardest things. And at the end, things will work out for the best." There's an old saying, which I never heard this saying before. It came to my mind. If you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. I don't necessarily believe God laughs at our plans, but I do believe he sometimes wonders why on earth we think the way we do. I'm going to read Ephesians 1, verse 11. Oh, it's right there. It says in Ephesians 1:11, "Therefore more, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God, for he chooses us in advance, and he makes everything work out according to his plan."
Amen. Praise God.
When reading this, it reminds me and us that God has always had a specific plan for us. God chose me and you. Today we're going to learn 7 things to remember when God's plan is different from our plan. Number 1, he sees the future. And the scripture verse that describes he sees the future is Isaiah 46, 9 through 10. Isaiah 46, 9 through 10 says, "Remember the things I have done in the past, for I alone am God. I am God, and there is none like me. Only I can tell you the future before it even happens. Everything I plan will come to pass, for I do whatever I wish. The second thing that came up was His ways are higher than ours. And the scripture verse that came up for that was Isaiah 55 verses 8 through 9. Isaiah 55, verses 8 through 9. My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord. And my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways. And my thoughts higher than your thoughts. When I read this the first time, I was thinking, we better not mess with God's plan because He knows what He's doing. Number three, that reminds us that God's plan is different, was we can plan, but God directs. We must be willing to move forward in God's plan for our lives. When it came up, when I was reading and praying on this, when it says we can plan, but God directs, we can make all the plans we want, but God has different plans and directs the way He wants it. And the verse that came up for that was Jeremiah 10, verse 23, and it says, I know, Lord, that our lives are not our own. We are not able to plan our own course. And that made me thought of how when we're kids, we always think we have a career future, and then later on, we keep on changing, but the change is from God. Number four, God has a good plan for us. Jeremiah 29:11. And Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. When I was growing up this scripture verse has been my main scripture verse all my life, because it's like, even though it seems like everything's going down, there's still a future because God's in control. Amen. Number five, trust in God with your life, no matter the end result. God's answer can be yes, no, or not yet. Billy Hillbills, I think I pronounced his last name right. He's an American author, said, if the quest is wrong, God says no. If the timing is wrong, God says slow. If you are wrong, God says grow. But if the request is right and the timing is right and you're right, God says go. A verse that is awesome about trusting God, and I love Proverbs, and it's at the Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6. Yes, Proverbs 3:5-6. And it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take. It was Proverbs 3:5-6. Before I get on to number 6 and 7, we're going to go to a chapter in the book of John. Chapter 11. It's verses 1 through 44, but I'm just going to give a summary of it because it's super, super long. It's about a guy named Lazarus. Lazarus was Jesus' best friend. So basically, there was a town called Bethlehem. Everybody knows the story about Mary Magdalene. So Jesus found out that Lazarus was sick. And Jesus was like, okay, we will go there after I'm done here. Because he's only sleeping. He's not sick, really. And Mary and Martha are two different people. That they have two different types of plans and different types of faith. His disciples were like, Rabbi, why are you going to go to Judea, which is Bethany? And because they were going to stone you there. And Jesus was like, I know what I'm doing. And then he said, we're going to go there and wake up Lazarus. And the disciples were like, if he's only sleeping, why are we going there? And when he arrived, they took a journey all the way to Bethlehem, and Jesus arrived there. And he was told Lazarus was already in the grave for 4 days. And Martha got word that Jesus was coming, and she went to meet him. And she's like, why weren't you here sooner? My brother would not have died. Jesus told her, your brother will rise again. And Martha was like, yes, on resurrection day. And Jesus told her, I'm the resurrection and life. Anyone who believes in me will have everlasting life. And she's like, yes, Lord. I believe you're the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who has come into the world from God. Then she returned to Mary, and they went to the tomb area. And there was mourners, and Jesus was like, let's go there, open up the tomb. they were thinking, why open up the tomb? It's going to be smelly by the time it's done. And Jesus was like, Lazarus, come out of the awake. Everybody was staring at Jesus like, why are you saying awake? And by the time he said awake, Lazarus rose and he came out in cloth, because they always bury their dead in cloth. So number 6 says God's plan is always better than ours. And in John verses 11 through 21, it says, Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you only had been here, my brother would have not have been dead. And number 7, God is glorified through his works. John 11 through verse 4. Then it says in John 11 verse 4, it says, but when Jesus heard about it, he said, Lazarus' sickness will not end in death. No, it happened for the glory of God, so that the Son of Man will receive glory from this. So pretty much when something bad happens, it might not be what we want, but there's always going to be a testimony out of a test. When your plans does not work, be thankful and trust God, because he has something better for us than what he wants or could ever imagine. At the end, God always is higher and his ways are always prevail. He knows everything and we don't. Let me find the scripture. Another character in the Bible that follows God's plan was Job. Job was one that was faithful with God, and he was like, he always thanked God for everything. And his life was going great. And when Satan saw that, he was like, can I mess up God's plan for him? And God was like, you're not going to kill him. And so Job went through a whole bunch of tests. And at the end of Job, basically, he was blessed more compared to what he was in the beginning of Job, because he trusted God's plan. And one other character in the Bible, and she's my favorite character, was Esther. She was an orphan, and at the time, the king, during that time, was single because he got divorced, and he was looking for a queen. And at the end, she became queen, but for a purpose that God knew what he was doing. She became a queen so that way she can save the people, the Jewish people. Because if she did not become queen at this time, God's people would be pretty much gone. So God used her to rescue his people at that time, because it was God's plan. Lastly, before I want to share my favorite song and quote with you about God's plan or God's will be done. Because technically, when we follow God's will, we're technically using, we're following God's will. It's by Hillary Scott. And here's a few verses. It's about how we have our own plans, but we are hurt. Then it talks about the only way to feel comfort is God's way or plan. Here is a few lines. Thy will be done. I know you see me. I know you hear me, Lord. Your plans are for me. Goodness you have in store. And it repeats, and the song is very, it's about God's plan. When we're in a bad situation, even though we think it's not, we follow our plan or God leads us to this test and we're struggling, that he knows what he's doing and there's goodness out of it. And let me go to this verse. Summarizing. This is a, I'm going to just summarize this verse. It's Psalms 23. Basically, when we're in hard times, God is our shepherd. He will lead us to the right path, which is his right plan for us.
Right.
And even though when we walk through hard times, he's always there and beside us. Even though we feel like the enemy's hitting us, God is more powerful. And he will rescue us and make sure our, his plan continues with us. A little prayer that I found, and I think it's very powerful. Even though it's short, it's tells the basic of what, whose plan we should follow. It says, Lord, do not let my desires blind me to your plans. Give me peace with whatever your plan is. Amen. And what basically it's saying is, we may have all these plans because as humans we're all flawed and we think we have this whole list of to-do list of what we want, but why follow that list when God has something better for us and leads us into something more wonderful.
Thank you, Courtney. Let's all stand. And that prayer that you close with, I want Courtney to repeat that prayer, to recite that prayer, and then I want for us to repeat that prayer, because that's a powerful prayer for us. So lead us in that prayer again, line by line,
okay,
and then let's repeat after her, and this will be our closing prayer, because it's beautiful.
Lord.
Lord.
Don't let.
Don't let
my desires
blind me Blind me.
To your plans.
To your plans.
Give me.
Give me.
Peace.
Peace.
With whatever.
With whatever.
Your plan is.
Your plan is.
Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for being so attentive. What a beautiful prayer. And let that prayer just touch our hearts all weekend. Amen. Praise God. Amen. What a beautiful prayer.